they're trying to turn the golf swing into a science. Okay, mm-hmm. The biomechanics, the numbers. Well, I can tell you this. Science is the study of what's happening. It's not necessarily how to do it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the 121st episode of the Golf Unfiltered podcast. I am your host, as always, Adam from golfunfiltered.com. You can follow me on Twitter at golfunfiltered. Send me an email, golfunfiltered@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we are focusing a lot more on how we can help you enjoy the game of golf a little bit better, and part of that is to actually get better at the game. And I can probably think of no other instructor that I'd like to speak to than Mr. Mike Malaska, who we have on the line today to talk a little bit not only about his swing method, but also about his YouTube channel and a bunch of other things. Mike, thank you so much for coming on today. How are you today?
Adam, great. What I want to know is 121. Why did it take me so long to get onto the show?
You know, that's a great question.
That's a long ways down the list. Are you running out of stuff to talk about?
Absolutely not. You should have been number one, Mike, because I got to tell you, before we started recording here, I told you that I've been following your YouTube channel for a little while here, and listeners will know that I've spoken about your teachings quite a bit, just on how much I enjoy them. But before I get too far ahead of myself here, Mike, why don't you let our listeners know a little bit about yourself, where you're currently the director of instructor at, and just how you got started with teaching this great game.
Well, I'm at two places here in Arizona, Superstition Mountain Golf Club, which is a Nicklaus 36-hole great facility. I've been there for 19 years since they opened, and then Lascendis, which is a semi-private club in Mesa. Those are the two places I teach at here in Phoenix. I'm the director of instruction for the Nicklaus Academies around the world and have been for the last 8-9 years. We have 28 facilities in 8 countries, and I've got about 200 instructors that are under me. So I'm involved with that, and obviously I do a lot of education for the PGA, and then I have another big company called JoinGreatLife.com, which is a whole new way to package golf with other things to make it affordable for people. So all of those things keep me pretty busy. new book coming out. It's called The Invisible Swing, which we'll probably talk about a little bit today. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's where I'm at. Where I come from, I was a good player when I was very young. I was a good athlete, or at least decent. I applied a lot of things by chance and got really, really good really fast within a couple years of playing. I won our state open, which was like a web.com event. I was a college All-American. So I really didn't understand why the game had to be so hard. I mean, it was I've been playing baseball and tennis and moving ball sports, and now you're going to put it still and let me hit it? I'm going, how easy is that stupid game? So, in actuality, to learn how to hit a golf ball fairly solidly and get it in front of you and have fun with it really isn't that difficult, or it should not be. We've done a very good job, and I went through the same process. I mean, I got so screwed up after being a very good player. Within the 6 months of being really good, or 8 months, I actually stood up over a tee shot in an event, and I wasn't afraid I was going to miss hit it. I was terrified that I was going to swing and totally miss the ball.
Wow.
So, you know, it's really easy to go from fairly competent to really bad really fast if you get the wrong ideas and concepts going. And so I spent my whole career trying to figure out what the heck happened. Why was I so good, and then why did I get so bad? Why did a game that was so easy, or seemed to be relatively easy, turn out to be this just unbelievably difficult? One day I've got it, the next day I don't. It lasts for a couple of holes, and then it's gone. And, you know, that's led me down a lot of roads of injury and all different type of disciplines that I got involved in outside of golf that have really helped me to really understand really what is important and what do people have to do to be pretty good at this game. And it really isn't that tough. It just took me 50 years to figure it out.
Well, Mike, that's one of the things that I think is so endearing about what you teach and as I mentioned at the top of this, your YouTube channel as well. You've been there, and you feel some of the struggles that some of your students, I'm sure, feel. And you do that a great job just kind of documenting their experiences as you teach them. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about why you started a YouTube channel and how it's been going up to this point?
Well, a couple of my friends said, you need to start putting this stuff on YouTube. And, you know, and I'm 63, so I'm the old guys that, I mean, technology, social media. I mean, if you'd have told me 5 years ago, I'd have a YouTube channel that's doing about 15 to 20,000 views a day. And we've got, I don't know, hundreds of videos up. I would have said, you're crazy. But what happened was I just started putting some things up, some observations of what I saw, and then I started getting all these people that would come up and, you know, they'd make comments. This has helped me more than anything. You know, I finally understand things. And so the more I did them and the more I put out there, and it was just more for me just to kind of help people see golf maybe through a different set of eyes where I had been through my whole career trying to play for a living, played the tour, played mini tours, U.S. Opens, PGA. I mean, so I went to a pretty high level with the game, yet it never really felt when they said, get comfortable, feel athletic, just let it go. Well, I could do that when I was a kid, but as I got older, I could never do that. I could do that, but then the ball missed the golf course, so I had to decide between trying to make a living and not. So when I started to figure some of these things out, put it up on YouTube, I was amazed at the response. And, you know, people said, oh, if you can do more, do this. And so I just started doing it on a semi-consistent basis. And in about 2.5 years from the time I started, we've now had just over 5 million views on the YouTube channel.
Wow, that's super impressive. And listeners, the YouTube channel we're talking about, of course, is Malaska Golf. And you can go out to malaskagolf.com as well and read all about Mike as well as what he teaches and even sign up to get more information. And Mike, you know, obviously, you know what you're talking about. I mean, you wouldn't have been voted the 2011 PGA Teacher of the Year if you didn't. And you're consistently named one of the top teachers in America. And, you know, Mike, what I really like so much about the way you teach is, you know, it's a little, maybe unconventional is the wrong word, but I'm going to use it for this conversation, because you teach a lot about momentum in the golf swing. And it kind of goes against something that I've been taught growing up. I'm 35 and I've learned quite a bit about the golf swing over the years, and I've gotten okay at the game. But one of the things that you really focus in on is just remaining aware of keeping that club head in front of you, as well as, just like I mentioned, momentum in the swing. What made you kind of go towards momentum as really the biggest concept, at least as far as I can perceive it in watching your channel, to convey that to your students?
Well, really, you know, what is a golf swing? You know, if I were to ask people, what is a swing? You know, you get so many crazy answers, and really what a golf swing is, and most of the answers you'll get have to do with positions, you know, lag, weight shift, this and that and the other. Really what a golf swing is it's nothing more than if you take a ball and you put it on the end of a string and you're swinging it around a circle and the circle has a constant center. That's what a golf swing is, because the forces that are around us, momentum, gravity, centripetal force, inertia, and acceleration, those things drive everything that we do. It's what makes the earth go around the sun. So it's why you walk. It's how your joints react to forces. So really, all you're really doing in a golf swing is you're directing and redirecting momentum and then offsetting that force around the center. That's what a golf swing is. Now, if you do it correctly, all of those angles that everybody's after and all those positions that everybody's trying to create have to create themselves. So that's what I knew as a kid, because I didn't know positions. I knew motion. I knew how to make a bat go fast. I knew how to throw a ball. I knew how to ski and make the skis work. So when it came to a golf swing, you know, it was a very easy move for me, because now I had a stationary ball and all I was trying to do was make an object that was going around me consistently run into that ball with the club face aimed in a certain direction. And it really wasn't that hard to do. So everything that we do, all the physiology, how your body works, is all based off those forces. So how your joints move, how they react, is all based off that momentum or gravity and momentum going around you, and how that force, when it's put in a joint, how does it react? And so I was very lucky to learn a lot about the physiology, not of a golf swing. I worked with a guy and had a therapy clinic in a training center for about 5 or 6 years, and I learned tremendous amount about how the body works. And when you push it a certain way, or you create certain forces on it, how does it react? And that was very helpful to me. So really all people need to know is to get a feel for what they're trying to do. What is a swing? How do you create this momentum? And how do you offset it so you have a consistent circle? And once you do that, past face control, which is becomes pretty easy to do for most people, you can be pretty good pretty fast with virtually no pressure on your back or your body that's going to blow you up in whatever amount of time.
Right. And, Mike, as you were talking and illustrating, just centrifugal force and the ball on the end of a string, I was picturing in Hogan's Five Lessons, what was it, a pocket knife at the end of a handkerchief that he talked a little bit about, if I remember correctly. And something that really comes across well in your videos is showing golfers of all different skill levels, because you also obviously have taught some of the best names in the game, including some guy named Mr. Jack Nicklaus, where the club head almost from the top, and listeners, I know this is hard to illustrate over audio, it almost seems like it's coming over the top a little, but it's really not. You're just keeping that club head in front of your body so that you don't focus so much on hitting those lag angles, as you mentioned, which in fact could really hurt your game. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah, anytime you hold anything off, so hold the angle in your wrists, hold your shoulders back. Okay, I understand the concept, and believe me, I practiced all that. And there's a lot of ways to swing a golf club, and there's a lot of thought processes. But if you told me, okay, I want you to hold your shoulders back, I would go, okay, let's find a motion where the forces that are around you and how you're moving actually accomplish that for you. Because in any sport, to hold something back, if you try to throw a ball and you try to hold the angle in your wrist until the last second and then throw it, I can promise you, from being a pretty good pitcher, you have no chance with that concept. So I'm not going to argue with the pictures. See, the pictures are correct. Our industry has become an effect-driven industry. So because of video and because of TrackMan, all these numbers they can now generate, they go, okay, here's the position and here are the numbers that you need to have. Let's work towards this position and these numbers. Well, I'm not going to disagree with the numbers, but I'll tell you what, I will dramatically disagree with what creates those positions and those numbers. So once you understand what makes those work, the numbers are right, the positions are right, but like I said, lag and your shoulders staying turned is not something that you forcibly have to think about. It's something that automatically happens if you have the right concepts and you know what you're trying to do to create this circle of acceleration and force around your body. And it's pretty simple. Most people would do it. Almost every move in a golf swing is instinctive. And I know people are probably listening and going, that's crazy. But if I have you make certain moves, which I put a lot of them on YouTube, and I go, okay, you see what you're doing right there? Can you feel that? Well, yeah. People say, well, yeah, I don't have to think. I just have to do that. Okay, that's what your golf swing should feel like. And they go, well, I've never felt that in my swing. And I said, well, that's why you're no good, because you've never felt what is one of the most important movement patterns in a golf swing. Why? Because you've been trying to artificially create something else, which is where I spent probably 90% of my playing career. Which is why one of the reasons I struggled being probably as good as I could have been is I fought all those. I didn't understand what they were, and I didn't. I could make my swing look any way you wanted it to look on a video in about 5 swings. The problem was when I made those positions show up, the ball most of the time didn't go anywhere near the target, and everybody told me, that's okay. That's fine. The positions are perfect. Now your timing's a little off. Just go practice. Well, I hit hundreds of thousands of balls, and it never really got to the point where it was even close to what I had when I was 17 or 18 and had no idea what I was doing, but I was relying on instinct to run a force or a bat into a ball.
Hmm. And so that instinct is something that players, if I understand you correctly, need to trust a little bit more instead of maybe the misconception of chasing numbers, as you suggested.
No, there's no question. I mean, I watch it every day. Once I get people to focus in on the right concepts, see, your brain is a taskmaster. So what it does, the way it works, and I've spent obviously a lot of time studying this too, learning and how your body works.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain's a taskmaster. You give it a task. What it does is it will eliminate anything and everything what it feels is not relevant to that task. Your brain also works, it's called fight or flight. So your neurology system is set up to protect you from harm or whatever you want to call that. So if you give your brain a task, hold the angle in your wrist, okay, it will do everything it has to do to try to hold the angle in the wrist. And if that's a bad task, if that's an effect and not a cause, now you're in big trouble.
Mm.
So you will create the effect, but the effect may not create the outcome you want because you've got the wrong task going. So once you get the right task and you start performing those tasks, a lot of these other things start to show up automatically. It's the same with concepts. So if I take somebody out and I put a club face in their hands and they actually realize that their hands control the face, which most of our industry would lead you to believe that it's your hips or your shoulders or your weight shift,
mm-hmm.
or something. No. Your hands control the face. It's the only connection you have with the club. Your hands and the club face are one. They're just separated by a shaft that's 35 inches long. So basically when I hit a golf ball, I'm hitting it with my hands. And so when I stand and I start teaching people, the first thing I do is put a club face in their hands relative to what its relationship is. And I say, okay, here's how you would make the ball hook. Here's how you'd make it fade. Here's how your hands work. Now tee the ball up, make a little swing, hit a hook, hit a fade, and they all sit and do it.
Hmm.
And I go, okay, have you ever tried to do this before? They go, I've never even thought about trying that. I go, well, that's another reason why you're no good. Because every tour player, and I hope your people will understand this, golf is a development of skills. Every tour player that you're watching has phenomenal, phenomenal hand-eye coordination to control that club face. They can move their bodies any way you want them to move it, and within about three or four swings, they'll say, if that's the way I'm going to move my body, here's what I have to do with my hands to catch the face up, because they've trained their hands to control the face. Most of the amateurs out there have never trained their hands to control the face. They've tried to control the face with their weight shift, their hip turn, their shoulders, whatever it happens to be. So they don't have the basic skill development in their hands to allow them to do 90% of the things you hear these tour guys doing. And so once I get people in the right task and figure out where they are in the skill development, it's not hard for them to get more control of the ball immediately because they've never even thought about the things that actually control the ball.
That's extremely interesting. And when you had mentioned task-oriented practice, Mike, one of the videos that helped me the most with my game, and I want to thank you for doing this because I haven't had the chance to speak to you before today, but was breaking down practice sessions to getting, in my case, my hands back to where they were at address, which would then, of course, help the club head, you know, stay out in front of me as you teach. And for me, what really helped was just not really worrying where that ball was going to go, but it was more or less, okay, well, where are my hands going to go? And my task for practicing just became getting my hands back to where they started. And I couldn't believe, and some of your students in your videos even comment, and I experienced this, how easy it was to do that. It's just mind-boggling how students don't catch on to that more quickly.
Well, our industry, again, because I've been in it at a very high level for the last 40 years, and, you know, we could have a whole nother show and a discussion on where it went, why it went, where it went, mm-hmm. and where it's at today. they're trying to turn the golf swing into a science. Okay, the biomechanics, the numbers. Well, I can tell you this. Science is the study of what's happening. It's not necessarily how to do it. That's another huge thing I learned. When I got into the physiology and the kinesiology of a golf swing or of a human body, I thought I had it. 35 years ago, I knew the muscle firing patterns. I knew when you walked, when you hit a baseball, when you hit a golf ball, I could tell you pretty much what the muscle firing patterns were. So I thought, I've got it. I'm going to make everybody great. So I started teaching exactly what it's out there today, glute firing patterns, abdominal contractions, all of those kinds of things in an order of which they actually happened. Probably the worst 2 years I've ever had teaching relative to success in my students. Because just because you can identify when a glute fires or whether it's an internal rotator muscle or whatever, just because you can identify the muscle does not mean that the person standing in front of you will have any concept or any feel for what that sequence is. Neurologically, that happens so quickly, and a lot of it is in your own personal DNA. A lot of times people don't have control of certain muscles, and their bodies have learned how to move without one of those particular muscles even being involved. So now it's more of, okay, I get people making a swing, and once they do it, they go, well, it can't be this easy. I go, well, yeah, it is that easy. Well, what am I supposed to think about then? Well, just what you're doing. Well, if this is correct, then most of the stuff I've been working on my whole career was wasted time or incorrect. And I go, well, now, wait a minute. I wouldn't go that far, but I will say we've all wasted a lot of time trying to create things that the universe around us would automatically do. And the magic of your body and the neurology that you've developed since you learned to walk and throw a ball will do for you automatically. We've tried to retrain ourselves how to walk, basically. And so why would you retrain yourself to walk? Do you want to know the muscle firing pattern it takes to walk? Do you want me to explain it to you so you can think about it when you get up out of your chair?
Right.
What would be the point?
Huh.
So that's kind of where the golf swing has gone.
That's really well said. And listeners, I'm sure you can pick up on this. I mean, Mike was right. I mean, we can have an entirely new show, and maybe we will in the future. Who knows, Mike, about talking about where everything's gone in golf instruction. But, you know, I don't want to go too much further before we mention your book, that you've got a new book coming out. It's called The Invisible Swing. You had mentioned that at the top of this episode. Why don't you let us know a little bit about what you hope to cover in the book and perhaps when it will be available?
Well, we just finished shooting all the photos for it. It'll probably be out in the next couple of months. Basically, the biggest thing I've learned in 40 years of teaching, 45, and probably 60 years of being alive, because a lot of this stuff, is that you cannot see a golf swing. What you see are effects. The forces that are out there that are creating a swing or that make the sun move or whatever, you cannot see. You can't see gravity. You can't see momentum. You can't see inertia, acceleration, central. You can't see those things. But they are what drives everything. So in the book, we basically talked about, we went magic, because the golf swing is magic. So it's momentum, and it's acceleration, gravity, centripetal force, and inertia. So it basically, magic is those words. And then it's, okay, so now that you know what these forces are, how do they work, and then how do you start to use them? What are you trying to do with them? How do they play into a swing? And once you start to get the basic understanding, not only does it make it easier because you do it in almost everything you do, but then the swing starts to become a lot more instinctive, and you start to understand where these positions are coming from. You understand why the body has to move a certain way. And with that clear picture and that understanding, it's like I told you, your brain's a taskmaster. If it goes, oh, I get it, so if I do this, this happens, then it starts to eliminate anything and everything not relevant to the task. So about half the things that people are trying to fix in their swings, you don't have to think about, because they're effects, they're not causes. And that's where a lot of people get in trouble. I'm coming over the top. Okay, fine. Why? Because I twist my body early. Okay, why? So if you don't get down to the cause of it and you just say, well, instead of coming over the top, I want you to swing more from the inside, that's a train wreck. You want to make people really bad, start keep putting effects on top of effects.
That's
So it's getting
really well said, actually.
it's getting down to what is causing this to happen. And once you get to the cause, most everything else goes away because the brain says, "Oh, if this is my task, I don't even need to do that. Why would I even do that?" Well, you wouldn't. So it doesn't do it anymore. So it's not like it's going to take you 8 months or a year of 100,000 balls to make changes. Your brain can change.